We would like to acknowledge that we live and work on the traditional land of the Dakota people, and honor with gratitude the land itself and the ancestors who have stewarded it throughout the generations, including the Anishinaabe and other Indigenous nations. Beyond Goodbye is a podcast that talks about death, dying, and coping with loss, and therefore contains material not suitable for all audiences, so listener discretion is advised. Welcome back to Beyond Goodbye. I am your host, Angela Sturm. I have been looking forward to this episode because it deals with how to manage grief that manifests itself physically. And my guest today is going to share with us ways in which we can help our bodies grieve the loss or losses that we've experienced. I think many of you know, and I've talked about it in previous podcasts, how my body completely shut down. Like, I could hardly move, I was stiff, and there was nothing like doctors could do for me. So I'm excited to talk about this because it's newer. Really, until recently, I didn't even know that outside of diet changes or talk therapy, that there was anything more I could really do to address the physical issues. When I would go to the doctors, they wanted to assign a diagnosis and then prescribe prescriptions that they thought was maybe my diagnosis. And as we know, you know, some prescriptions are potentially dangerous and have some really serious side effects. I had one specialist prescribe me a chemo drug. They thought I had lupus because of rashes that were breaking out. I didn't take it. I was looking for something just to help manage it, not to like permanently create other problems in my body. So it actually wasn't until a friend of mine asked me if I had ever considered a somatic approach to help my body heal. Now, I'd not heard of anything like this. So I did a little research and discovered that there's a name for this sort of help, somatic grief support. And as we all know, grief is something everyone is going to experience. But it's not solely a mental or emotional process. It's really deeply rooted in the body. And today we have the privilege of speaking with Dallas Rising, who specializes in honoring our connection between the mind and body, offering a holistic approach to processing grief. Dallas will talk about their unique approach to grief support and how incorporating somatic techniques to address the physical aspects of loss can benefit our overall well-being. Dallas, welcome.
Thank you so much. It's a lovely introduction. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm happy that you agreed to be on here. Now, as I understand it, somatic refers to the body, right? So it's in sensations and movement. And then when somebody encounters loss, like my children were murdered, prior to that, 2 months prior to that, my mom died of, had a horrible disease and died. Our grief can then present itself in our physical bodies, not just psychologically. How do these symptoms show up? Like, what do they look like or maybe even feel like, if you're able to even address that?
So it can look different for anybody. I can certainly share some of the most common things that I see and, you know, and hear about, but, you know, the rash that you mentioned, like that's a little bit more of an unusual response, but certainly not out of the realm of possibility. I am a person that believes that there's a strong connection between the body and the mind and the spirit as well. Mm-hmm. And, that all of those things kind of, they inform one another and they co-manage like coping. Right. And so, some of the more common physical symptoms of grief, a huge one is fatigue and sleep disruption. Yep. Of various kinds. And so fatigue, I mean, part of like a whole section of the work that I do is around, addressing fatigue and issues with sleep disruption. So, whether it's insomnia or chronic fatigue or not being, tired, like feeling like you're tired during the day and awake at night or nightmares, or sleeping and not feeling like you're rested. There's all kinds of different ways that that can show up. Mm-hmm. Generalized aches and pains, like feeling more achy or kind of having unexplained pains in the body, or waves or tightness, all of that is a possibility. Changes in appetite and digestion are also huge. And so, and that can look any number of ways, like the sleep can. Tightness in the chest and a difficulty breathing well can be a piece, whether that's something that people are conscious of or not. So, it may occur as a physical tightness in the chest, but it could also just be something that people aren't aware of until attention is drawn to that area of the body. And it can be difficult to feel like there's space for a good breath to happen. Oftentimes those muscles in between the ribs get really tightened, almost as though a person is sort of unconsciously bracing against another impact of some kind. Another big jarring loss, or just sort of holding on, literally holding on. Headaches, and then also we can kind of go into, there's this line of physical and emotional or mental, like irritability, mm-hmm. forgetfulness, difficulty concentrating, all of those, sort of the brain fog that mm-hmm. a lot of people experience. I would put those in the realm of physical. And a compromised immune system is also a piece too, that is not necessarily something that we have an immediate direct control over. But when you talk about the rashes and that suspicion of lupus, like, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah, you probably hit on everything that I've also experienced, and still a little bit. I was just talking to a friend of mine just 2 days ago, telling her that I'm having these weird digestive issues, and I've never had these issues, and I'm changing everything, maybe it's this type of food and maybe I should go here. And I'm still having some issues with that. The sleep stuff is horrible. And I'll get home at like 2 o'clock and be so exhausted that I literally fall asleep for probably 2 or 3 hours. And then of course, I can't sleep at night. So mm-hmm. it's awful. I don't get too many of the headaches, but I do have the forgetfulness and my body, I got like stiff. It was really strange. It was, I'd put on weight over these years due to everything, because I'm an emotional eater. But even just going up and down the stairs to do laundry, if I would spend a day cleaning and doing some laundry, which is not heavy duty stuff, as soon as I sat down, I was so stiff and sore, I couldn't move and I was exhausted. It was awful. And then the same with the chest. I didn't know that was a thing for that. I just thought I was having extra issues going on. I'm like, why am I having these breathing issues? And it's been up and down with that. So it's interesting. I didn't know all of that. So then somatic support, I guess, then would be like things like their mindful practices. So like some breathing work or movement, like yoga, although I know there's all sorts of different types of yoga. So I don't know that would apply, but more body centric. So like teaching us to kind of pay attention to what our body's doing or saying or behaving, and then releasing or learning to release. I on the right track.
Yes, you're on the right track. So what I talk about, how I describe what it is that I do, is I'm not necessarily, most of the work that I do that's grief work is group based rather than individual. Mm-hmm. And part of that is because I wanted to have it's more economical for people if I mm-hmm. can work with people and they can pay a little bit less, then we can have an experience all together. And so that, right. And then the other piece that I like to do group work is, because it is, an embodied way of processing, let me back up. One of the reasons that I do group work, and you can choose if you want to edit that or not, but I get excited. So I start to jump in, but, one of the reasons I do group work is because I feel like grief is, the experience feels isolating, but it actually is a universal experience. I mean, if you're not a sociopath, maybe, yeah. maybe be the exception, right?
Right.
If there's something that is atypical about the way a person experiences emotion. But mm-hmm. if you do have typical range of emotions, if you're going to experience love or attachment in some way, at some point you're going to experience loss or separation, and that tends to lead us into a place of grief, and that's common. And so I like to work with people in groups. And the other reason is, while support groups can be helpful, traditional support groups, I'll say, it's not always what people want or need. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's helpful to be in a space where you are feeling like you're in a shared experience, but there's no pressure to talk mm-hmm. about it and to go into great depth. We are a species that talks a lot. And that is, and many of us, including me, are external processors, and talking mm-hmm. is very valuable and powerful, and it's a useful tool.
Yep, same.
But there are also, people are very familiar with therapy, talk therapy, and traditional support groups where people go and share their stories and how things are going. What I do is a little bit different. And so I do bring people together, and there's a slight check-in about what brought you here, or what grief you're there to honor. But I essentially lead practices in a group, and people can have different experiences in that practice. So I don't typically work with somebody deep about what is happening and why, because then we're kind of getting into an analytical space about
right,
it.
Right.
And the way that my approach, which is really powerful and amazing for some people, and for some people they're not interested, and that's okay. It's just another option, is to just let the body process whatever is there that's ready ready to be moved, and to let that happen. Let emotions come up, let them be felt, be present with them, not try to control them in any kind of way, notice sensations, and, you know, let it pass. And the other piece too is that I'm creating a container so that it feels a little bit more safe. I think a lot of what I hear is, well, in my experience, and I hear a lot, is like, I can't deal with this now. I don't want to deal with this now. And the grief just gets shoved aside, pushed aside, delayed, deferred, ignored, you know, and we come up with all kinds of different ways to avoid feeling mm-hmm. what's in there. And that may be because it's inconvenient, and it may be because it's scary and it's hard, or because we're worried that we might never come out, or how we'll survive it. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that I do is, like, we have an opportunity for you to know that something's coming. So there's, you know, there's no scary, you know, unexpected surprises. I'm getting ready to go to this thing. I go to this thing. And then at the end of it, I know that it's going to wrap up, and I'm going to have to put my shoes on and go, right? Mm-hmm. You're not going to be falling, you know, it won't be in a heap on your bathroom floor for 3 days.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where we're doing this. So what it looks like, though, it can look a lot of different ways. And so do you want me to just kind of talk to you about the different ways that I
That'd be great. Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I started doing this work with the Center for Grief and Loss in St. Paul. I am a yoga instructor, and I started out wanting to offer restorative yoga for grief. And we haven't really gotten into my story about why I do this work, mm-hmm. but I did start participating or practicing yoga as a way of moving my body in a way that felt kind of safe after I had an injury. I practiced martial arts for a number of years, and I had a really bad back injury. And that was one piece of a reason why I started to turn to yoga. And so, you know, this was a loss, and there was grieving around this. And it's not the only reason I left the martial arts practice. There were some other heartbreak reasons in there too, but the long and short of it is that I had lost this practice that I loved, this physical, this physical practice and form of catharsis that mm-hmm. I found, because hitting and punching and kicking stuff is very therapeutic in and of mm-hmm. itself. It was a community. It was a routine. My training partner meant so much to me. And there were just a number of different losses when I left that space. And so I was looking for something that I could do to safely move my body given injury. And yoga is something that allowed me to pay very close attention to what was going on and also not potentially hurt myself. And so restorative yoga is different than the type of yoga that most people think of here, mm-hmm. Yes, there's a mat involved, but you're not sweating a ton and you're not like creating really difficult postures and warming up your muscles and sweating a lot, getting mm-hmm. your heart rate up. I call it the comfy schlumpy yoga. So there's a lot of pillows and blankets and you're
sounds
on the floor
like my kind
much.
Of yoga.
Yes, it's delightful. But during that time when I was practicing yoga, I was also experiencing a series of losses like you described as well. And what I noticed is that when I would go into these restorative classes, especially the ones where I had the bolster and I could lay my body on the bolster and have that physical support under me, it allowed me to not have to feel like I had to hold it all together all by myself. And I could soften my body into this bolster. And when I wrapped my arms around it, it almost felt like a hug. You know, I have a blanket mm-hmm. over you. And it felt sort of, it felt very comforting. And I would cry all the time mm-hmm. in these postures. And then I took you on a yoga teacher training, knowing when I signed up for yoga teacher training that I wanted to work with people who were grieving. And so, it took a while to get there. Mm-hmm. But restorative, I chose because it helps to soothe the nervous system and the parasympathetic nervous system, which can be so stressed in a grieving person. And also the breath work and the postures that are there in restorative, you hold the postures for quite a while and it allows the body to soften and for some of those intercostal muscles to soften up so that you can breathe a little bit better. And so those are two of the symptoms of grief. And I also incorporate readings and poetry because I think that art and storytelling are really powerful mm-hmm. and a little bit of breath work and a little bit of guided meditation and encouragement for people to mm-hmm. just feel supported and safe with being with whatever shows up and being able to breathe through it, knowing that the ground is holding you up.
Yeah. You said so many things that like so completely resonate with me. One, I like that you use the word honor grief. I haven't been honoring the grief myself. I apologize to the audience. I have a little bit of a cold. I haven't been honoring the grief and I did push it aside. And I had, you know, I had at the beginning, I had, you know, apartments to clean out and funerals to plan. And then they had children. So then I had, you know, what am I going to do with the children? And I have one son left and he's an adult, but he lost his siblings. We're very, very, very close. And so he went from spending all this time with them all the time, all of us, to nobody there for him now. Mm-hmm. And so you're busy taking care of everyone else. And it takes, you know, a couple of years. It's been two and a half years now that I didn't have time for myself. But then I kept myself busy with all of my little side hustles, I call them, so that I didn't have to think about it. I went back to work after a couple of weeks. I probably shouldn't have. I did all of these things. Well, now, you know, fast forward to 2.5 years, everyone's doing really well. People are, they're adjusting. They've been and continue to go to therapy and we're all still very close. We didn't implode at all. And I found myself not doing well. And I realized, you know, you can't, there's nothing more that you can do right now that's going to continue to help you to avoid working with your own grief. I didn't have that time to really grieve. And so I'm in a place now where I am doing that and I need that. I need to honor that and work through that. And you're right. I did do right away a group therapy that was offered. I didn't enjoy it. I don't know that anybody probably enjoys it, but I found it to be very difficult. I didn't always want to share what was going on and it was hard hearing what everyone else, but I had going on. I probably wasn't ready for it at that time, but it just felt not, I don't want to say not welcoming. I guess I don't have the word for it, but it was something that just wasn't for me. And I stuck with it for about a month. And then I was like, I can't do it anymore and stopped doing it completely. I love the idea of holding a container though. I participate in a group. It's called 13 Moons. And it's essentially a women's group, but it's kind of a women's spiritual group, if you will. Mm-hmm. And that's been fantastic for me. Actually, it's probably been the biggest help in all of this is to be able to go and be vulnerable and feel safe to do so. And just people letting me, when I want to share, I share. And when I don't, I don't. And it's not always just about, you know, it's not about loss always there. We were talking about how we're honoring ourselves and the earth and whatnot, and our own spirit. And so it's just nice because every now and then it bubbles up and you want to share it. And then people just, they let you say what you need to say, you know? Mm-hmm. And then when you were describing about also, what did you call it that you lay on? It
was bolster.
A bolster. Mm-hmm. And then as you're describing like how that felt for you and putting your arms around a pillow, I actually almost started crying right now because I thought that's what I need. And I really like this idea of coming into a space that you're creating. I really like that idea.
Yeah, it's, I've been doing that for maybe 5 years with the Center for Grief and Loss and in other places at some other studios around the Twin Cities area. Mm-hmm. And I just want to affirm and validate your experience about, you know, saying like, maybe I shouldn't have gone back to work right away or, you know, we can always look back and think, well, what might have been helpful, what might not have, but it's very common. I see two ways that people can go about this. And I think it's really depending on your particular personality. Mm-hmm. But I think it's super common for people to, especially in the first year, I mean, surviving the death of children is a particular kind of hell. And I don't have children. I'm not that person, but my sister died. And then each of my two mm-hmm. remaining living sisters each had a child die within 14 months. So I have three people very close to me who I was in a relationship with who were all grieving the deaths of a child. Mm-hmm. And that's, it's very, very difficult. And that's part of what brought me to this work. And so, you know, getting just from what my observations have been doing grief work and my own personal experiences, like the first year of that is just survival. Yeah. And that's just, it's plain survival and like surviving the shock of that and mm-hmm. the huge disruption. And you do what you do, you know, you do what you got to do to get through that. And I see people take on huge projects, whether it's, you know, going out and literally, you know, weeding a forest sort of a situation where I'm just going to go and use all this physical labor. Another family who survived the death of their child did a whole basement renovation, just complete, you know, just something that is huge and can take up all of your focus and energy.
Yeah.
So that you don't completely fall apart. And the other thing that I see is sometimes people going another direction, which is like, I am going to lean as far as I can into this process of grief. And it's almost as if they're trying to perfect the process of grieving, or like, if I do all of this stuff, maybe I'll get it over with more quickly and then it won't, you know?
Yeah.
And so there is no perfect formula for this. And whenever somebody is ready to come and find support for whatever their grief is, however fresh, or if it was a long time ago, all of it is welcome in my space. And I think, you know, the grief journey looks a little bit different for everybody.
Right.
And it's not, and you know, we have these kind of patterns and our, like you said, our culture is not great with, we don't know how to do this.
No.
We're not taught how to do this by which I mean like support one another or navigate this. We kind of lack a lot of cultural agreements about what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. so what I say is that whatever the grief is, if it has impacted you in a significant way, it's valid. If it is impacting you in a significant way, it's valid. And so whatever that looks like, and we don't have to compare it, we don't have to justify it or explain it. You're welcome, you're accepted, and I'm glad you're here. That's all I have to say on that. And I do think too, the talking support groups, like when a person is in certain stages of, you know, sort, I don't want to say stages because that makes it sound linear and it isn't, but a certain, mm-hmm. some of the experience of grief can feel extremely raw.
Yeah.
And so to go, and if you're a highly sensitive person, or even you're not usually a highly sensitive person, but grief puts you in a state of high sensitivity, then going and hearing a lot of details of other people, or even idiosyncrasies of another person and the way that they talk, or if they're talking too much and they're taking up all the space. And it's like dealing with who the people are at that given time and interacting with you. And if they're peer-led support groups and it's drop-in, that's a whole other situation, which is why when I do groups that are ongoing, I actually don't have a drop-in model. I have a cohort model so that you can have opportunity to build a little bit of relationship and trust. And we also have agreements that we come, I come up with a draft, but we've got some agreements. And one of mine is, you know, we create, we honor one another and create space where it's safe to be vulnerable, and choosing to pass or sit in silence is always welcome and respected. Mm. There's never any expectation that somebody open up and start sharing.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Do you find when you have these groups, do people, well, I suppose they have all kinds of different reactions then to how they're feeling when you're doing the movement or you're doing the poetry or the writing. You probably have some that just cry, and others who are just very focused. And I think that's good, because I think it's good to see that in a situation like that, for someone like me anyway, to not feel like I have to be how I present or how I share or how I do anything ends up being not right. Like I won't feel like, what am I trying to say here? I won't feel like I'm not part of that.
Yeah, I make it really clear that any number of different reactions to this can happen. And sometimes people are really disappointed if they don't have a big cathartic cry.
Oh, yeah.
That's what they're expecting. And they get disappointed or frustrated. And I have to say, no, it's okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't
and
be good
other people,
it.
You know, will lay there and think, I don't feel anything, nothing's happening. Or, mm-hmm. they'll go through half a box of tissues and all of it is fine. It's all fine. And I believe that having shown up, even if you're not getting anything on the surface that you are conscious of on a heart or head level, you're still getting the physical benefits from the practice.
Right.
So that's good.
Yeah. Right.
That's good. And that's what I'm focusing on. And then the rest of it is kind of a mystery.
Mm. Isn't it?
And it's okay.
I'm thinking about all this. I'm thinking like my takeaway kind of is that the somatic grief support that you offer, it complements talk therapy, those who are part of that, but mm-hmm. it's more like, it's like another tool that's available for coping with loss. And it's mm-hmm. It's a more holistic level, I think.
Yeah. What I say is that it's a supplemental or alternative, depending if you want another option mm-hmm. or you're like, yeah, I can't afford talk therapy, or I don't have somebody that I want to go see, or, mm-hmm. you know, I'm just resistant to that for whatever reason, all fine. This is something that you can do and it's relatively low commitment. My Moving, Breathing, and Writing Through Grief series is something that I would recommend. And for people who are a little bit curious about that cohort experience.
Okay.
It's really beautiful. And I just want to let your folks know too. I do them in general, but then I also have some that are specific. So like I have one for Moving, Breathing, and Writing for Grief Through Grief for parents and primary caregivers. It's kind of particular.
Yeah.
If there's a group of people who are spouses who their partner died and now they are carrying not only their own processing, but they need to be a support for a child or children mm-hmm. who no longer have that other caregiver in their life, mm-hmm. that can be really difficult. And it can just be helpful to have some people who have the same reference point.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
And I've also had wonderful experiences with mixed groups of people too. That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. I also offer private Moving, Breathing, and Writing Through Grief groups
and
as well.
All of this is on your website, right?
It is on my website, yeah.
Okay.
But we just had, you know, if there's a person that, you know, had an extended, you know, a lot of people were impacted by this person's death, or it's an unusual death. Mm. You know, it might be a violent death, a sudden death, something that is particularly jarring and people mm-hmm. need extra help processing that. That's a really wonderful option.
Okay. That's great. You said something, I'll kind of close with this, but you said something when we were emailing back and forth, you said that the physical aspects of grief are often under-acknowledged and under-supported. I am 100% behind that because it really isn't. And slowly, I think we're getting away from everything being medicine, MD, take this, and you know, you just have to kind of deal with it on your own. So I really liked that statement in your email. I don't know why I wrote it down. I'm like, I like that.
Yeah, it's true. You know, and the other thing too, is I think a lot of times people just think of grief as death.
Yeah.
And I just want to also let people know, and I know your podcast is a lot about that, but mm-hmm. you know, there's a lot of also secret pain that people carry that they yeah. don't want to talk about. And sometimes, you know, there may not be a support group for people who, you know, they're, extramarital affair ended and they're heartbroken mm-hmm. or, mm-hmm. you know, people who, miss their abuser.
Yeah.
So, you know, like they're not going to go back, but there's still, you know, there's still
loss
about the loss of that relationship.
Yeah.
So there's also, forms. You know, that's another reason that it might be nice to have an option where you can go and get some support without having to talk about why you're there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that. Well, that is all the time we have today, friends. I'd like to end by stating this. Through somatic grief work, we honor the body as the vessel of our experiences, allowing its wisdom to guide us through the journey of healing and transformation. Dallas, thank you so much for being a guest today. I, for one, am looking forward to engaging in some grief work with you. I'm traveling a little bit next week, but after that, I plan on getting more involved. I'm excited to see if excited is even the right word. I'm looking forward to feeling better, I guess would be, you know, body wise yeah. and all of it, you know, mm-hmm. for any listeners that are interested in working with Dallas, you can check out their website at dallasrising.com. I'll also include it in show notes and
with a hyphen. The hyphen. We have to put the hyphen in.
Okay. So it's dallas-rising.com, but I'll have it in show notes so you all can go out there and get it there too. Dallas offers a handful of modalities to help us move through grieving and to healing. So I encourage you to check their site out. And she talked about that a little bit here. I feel confident. I really feel confident that there is something for everyone there. And thank everybody for stopping by. We really do appreciate your support and hope that what we bring to you is as supportive. If you enjoy our show, please hit like and follow us on your favorite podcast hosting site. Bye all.